Today's shiur is being said for Zchus for Refuah Shleima, for Shalom and Bracha. Today's shiur is Masechta Nedarim Daf Chaf Gimel, and we will be Ezra Hashem Yisbarach begin on Daf Chaf Beis Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. So says the Gemara, Shimon Rebbe Havelei Nidra LeMishra. Shimon Rebbe had a neder that he needed to be mat neder. Osel Kamei the Rabbanon, he approached the Rabbanon, Amrilei, and they asked him, "Data dahachi, did you make the nether with this intention?" Omar in, he said, "Yes." So they asked him, "Data dahachi." So they asked him another question, "Did you make the nether with this in mind?" And again, in, he said, "Yes." And this happened, says the Gemara Kama Zimnan, a number of times. They were busy trying to come up with a way to be mat and neder from Shimsha Latula, from the sun to the shade, and from the shade to the sun. So there are a number of pshatim. This pasha pshat is, as we just said, it took all day for them to be mat and neder, and they weren't able to come up with a way to be mat and neder. Another pshat that the Marsha suggests is that they were mat, that their homes were made half with a roof and half without a roof. And in the morning, when the sun is not that strong, they sat on the part where there was no roof. And then as the day got hot, as the sun came out, they sat in the part with the roof. And that's why the Chachamim had to go, it took that long to be mat and neder, that they went back and forth that long. At that point, Amalei Botnes Berei, at that point, Botnes Berei, Dabi Shobe Botnes, asked him, Minadat Adat, the Mitzar, Rabbanim, Atul, Shimshal, Shimshal, Atula, did you make the nether with the intention that it will cause the Chachamim so much pain that they're going to have to go back and forth? Amalei, says the Gemara, so he said, of course not. I would never have done something that caused the Rabbanon so much tsar. Says the Gemara, and that's why they were mad to him, based on this Pesach. And it's not considered, explains the Ran, a situation of Noilad, that we have learned and we will learn, that you could only be mad to neder when it's something that could have been anticipated, not a new situation. This is not considered, explains the Ran, a new situation, because that is what the Rabbanim always do. The Rabbanim are always trying to find a way to be matter neder. It says, I saw a beautiful pshat. What's pshat? That he wouldn't have made the neder had he known that Rabbanim would be upset. That from here we see that even if it's something that is so insignificant, but it's something that bothers the Rabbanon, that's something that we have to pay attention to. Says the Gemara, Rav Shmuel Rav Yossi Havelei Nidra LeMishra. Rav Shmuel Rav Yossi had a nether that he had to have had a Taras Nedarim for. Oslo Kamei the Rabbanon, so he came to Rabbanon to be mat nether. Amrulei, and they asked him, the data data the hachi, did you make the nether with this in mind? Amrulei, in, yes, that is not a good Pesach. So they asked him another question, the data data the hachi, did you make the nether with this in mind? Amru in. The data the hachi. And then they asked him another time, in. And says the Gemara, this happened Kama Zimnan a number of times. Came the Chazda would come inside the Rabbanon. At this point he saw that the Rabbanon were upset because the Rabbanon had wanted to be matter nether for him. And everything that he every time that they tried, it wasn't working. Chazu the Kamstar Rabbanon comes in, Kim the Chazda Katsur Mitzar Rabbanon, says the Gemara, there was a person who had a laundry stick. The way they used to do the laundry, I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is that the stick had holes in it, and they used to sprinkle the water on the clothing that needed to be cleaned. Another pshat that I saw is that they had, after they finished doing the laundry, they would take the stick and put different nice smelling chemicals in the stick, and they would sprinkle it on the clothing to give the clothing a nice fragrance. Says the Gemara, this laundry individual, person who was involved with being a cleaner, saw what this back and forth was causing, that the Rabbanim should be upset. Machia ba'achla de kutri. So he took the stick and they hit Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Omar, so Rabbi Shmuel now asked him, adatin machle katsri lenadri. He says, this I wasn't expecting. And for this, shayri lenafshe. And here there's an interesting discussion. Here the Gemara uses the word v'shayri lenafshe, that he was matir his own nether. It seems from here that the halacha is that somebody can be matir their own nether. But there are rishonim that say that the proper girsa in our Gemara is not v'shayri lenafshe, not that he was matir his own nether, because the halacha is that one cannot be matir his own nether. V'shayru rabbanon, that the rabbanon were matir neder. Another pshat is that he was the one that found this Pesach, said it to the Chachamim, and the Chachamim were the ones that actually did that Taras Nadarim. Amalei Rav Achim Adiftil Rava. Hai Noilethu. This is something that's not expected. As we mentioned a few moments ago, the example of Noilad is something that wasn't in place or not expected to be in place when the neder was made. So even though now that is the circumstance, and that is a circumstance to be matan nether, that's not a good way to be matan nether. In other words, the example the Gemara we're going to have later in the Masechta on Daf Samach Dalad Amud Aleph, the Mishnah discusses a case where somebody made a nether that he may not benefit from a certain individual, and then that individual became a cipher, and this person who made the nether needs the services of that individual. He needs the cipher for whatever needs that cipher can provide. And he now says to him, and now we say to him, that if you would have known that this person would be a cipher, would you have made the nether? So the halacha is that that's not a legitimate Pesach, because he wasn't a cipher at that point. Because, as the Meiri explains, a Pesach means that a person didn't think through all of the consequences of his nether when he made it. And that's why it's a legitimate way to undo the nether. But something which wasn't in place at that time, even if he would have thought through those consequences, then that wasn't something that he would have come up with. That person wasn't a cipher at that time, and there was no reason to assume that that person would be a cipher. So why is this not considered noilad? That he should have a thought that this person will hit him for not helping the Rabbanon find a Pesach? So again, ask the Gemara, hi noilad who? Answers the Gemara, there's no reason he should assume that the Rabbanon, that this cleaner will hit him. And Tanina, as we just explained, ain't paiskalim b'noilad. You can't be matan neder with a noilad. So why was this an acceptable Pesach? Answers the Gemara, amlei haylav nalehu. This is not considered noilad. The shchich yafkuri the mitzayi Rabbanon. That people who do this, it's common that the people who see something like this is something that happens. So as the Rosh explains, as we just said, the reason why Noilad cannot serve as a Pesach for another is because it's not something that we expected you to think of or could have assumed that kind of a consequence when you made the nether. This is something that you could have expected. And the Kesef Mishnah goes on to explain, what our Gemara is really teaching us is that there are two categories of noilad. There's something which is called noilad b'shchiach, a noilad which is common, a noilad which is to be expected, and there's something called noilad she'en shchiach. And what our Gemara is saying is that since this is shchichi, afkuri demekar tzor rabbanon, this is something which is common to happen, so it's not considered something that you shouldn't have thought about or couldn't have thought about what you made the nether. And since it's something that you should have thought about, that's good enough for a Pesach. And what we see from here, I saw the Marit explains that when it comes to accepting a Pesach, we don't have to be so strict and trying to come up which is a Pesach. Anything which is in the realm of something that we should expect should happen is considered a legitimate Pesach. Says the Gemara, the Vista Abaya Havalehi Barta, the wife of Abaya had a daughter. Who I'm a Lekrizoi? He said that this daughter should get married to his relative, the Amra, and she wanted Lekreva to her relative. And as the Rishonim point out, neither of them had the ability to be Makadashar Medaraisa. For as we discussed quite extensively when we learned Masechta Ksubis, a mother doesn't have the right to marry off her daughter, even if she is a Ketana Medaraisa. That is a right that was only given to a father, and it has to be a real father. Here it wasn't his daughter, it was his stepdaughter. Amrle, so he was, Abaya was so concerned, and he wanted that the girl should only marry his relative and not his relative, not her relative. He said, Titzra Nosei Loch, he said to his wife, you should not be allowed to have any benefit from me. If you will violate my wishes and have your daughter marry your relative, says the Gemara. And she went and she did go against his wishes, Vince Lekreva, and the girl married one of her relatives. Now we have an issue because he made an eder that she can't have any benefit from him if her daughter will marry such an individual. So now Osla Kamed Rabbi Yosef. They brought this question to Rabbi Yosef if there's a way to be matan neder. Amlei. So Rabbi Yosef said to Abaya, Ila have you dat? If you would have known the Avar al datach that she would go against what you said, a mitzla kreva miadarta, if you would have known she's not going to pay attention to what you want, Amr so Rabbi said loy, Vishariye Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Yosef was matan neder based on that. Ask the Gemara, is this a proper way of being matan neder? And as the Rishonim explain, whenever we speak about a Pesach, we always speak about a Pesach, about something which is external to the neder. And that's why it's something that you didn't, as we keep on explaining, it's something that you should have thought about, you didn't think about. But here, the Pesach is in the neder itself. And since the Pesach is saying, well, if you would have known that they're going to violate the neder, where you've made the neder, why is that considered a valid Pesach? It says the Ma'in. It is considered a valid Pesach. For Tanya, this Tanya is not a Kashya, but Tanya is a Raya. The Gemara quotes a Braisa, which teaches us, Ma'is Badam Echad, Shehedis Ishta Melalos Regal. A person made a neder that his wife should not be allowed to be Oyla Regal. Of course, many Rishonim discuss, in the time of Rabbi Yossi, there was no Beis HaMikdash. So how could it be that he made a neder that his wife should not be Oyla Regal? So some say that the Oyla Regal means that there was a major drosha given every yontif, and he didn't want his wife to attend that drosha. Another pshat is that even though it was ready after the Churban Abayis, the minig was that they went up to Yerushalayim, every one of the Shalosh Regalim, to do Aliyah LeRegel, even though there was no longer a Beis HaMikdash. So he did not want his wife to be Aliyah LeRegel. And says the Gemara, and she did. V'avra al data, she disobeyed Vos LeRegel, and she did go to Yerushalayim on Yontif. Obal Fnei Rabbi Yossi, and now this person came to Rabbi Yossi for Taurus Nadarim, and Amaloi and Rabbi Yossi asked him, Ilu ha-yisi yidei she'averas al data for Aliyah LeRegel, klum Adarta, had you known she would disobey what you said, would you have made a nether? Amr loy loy, he said, absolutely, I would have never made such a nether. It says the Gemara, Vitiya Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi accepted that as a Taurus Adarim. So the Rishonim asked the question, why is this not considered a all these cases, why they're not considered Nidri Zruzim? As we learned at the beginning of the Sugya, beginning of this Perek, that a Nether which was made, well, we know it was made sincerely, was only made to stake out a position, is considered nidri zruzim. And why is that not? Why are these cases not considered nidri zruzim? So the Ran explains, nidri zruzim is as we learned when we learned the Mishnah. It's the way people do business, and they bargain, and that's how they get. That's how they want to get their opinion, their price followed. Here, there was no such a circumstance, and that's why it's not considered nedri zruzim. Another point that the Razor makes, that this nether, these nedarim that we just discussed, are not like other nedarim. In other nedarim, we have to have hacharata. When they regret having said the nether, it has to be charata mikara, that they had charata, they should have never made it. Here, the halach is that if this is considered a valid Pesach, it's even if you only have charata now, because when you made the nether, you were sincere. You didn't want this girl to be married to that boy. You didn't want your wife to go to Shlaim. But since the Gemara is saying that this nether was only made under the circumstances that you were convinced that she would listen, there the halacha is that even if it's no charata mikara, there's only a charata as of now, that's good enough. Then the Beis Meir asks a question. We're going to be learning that there's a concept in the Dharam of Hiskabalti. If you made an edit that somebody has to give you something and they don't give it to you, but you could say Hiskabalti, it's as if you gave it to me. So why over here do we say Hiskabalti? That you could say it's like the girl married someone I'm satisfied with the marriage. So the Beis Meir explains, the claim of Hiskabalti is only acceptable before the violation of the nether. At that point, the Gemara teaches us that Hiskabalti is acceptable. But once the nether was already violated, and at that point you want to say Hiskabalti, it's too late to say that type of a concept. Continues the Mishnah. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Oimer, Afaroitza Lodos Chaverev. If somebody wants to have his friend, Shioichel Etzloi, to come to eat by him, and he wants to make sure that the person who he's inviting should recognize that it's so important for him to come to him. Yoimeloi kol sheni also, so he makes a nether to that effect. Yoimeloi, he should say, kol nether sheni also lido bato. Any nether that I'm going to make, any nether that I'm going to make should be null and void. Then the halach is that it is indeed null and void. When he makes the nether, he should remember that he made that tonight. So in other words, the way the Rishonim explained this Mishnah, I want to invite somebody to eat by me, and I want him to really know how serious it is that I am inviting him. So the way I express it is with a nether. But I recognize that maybe the person is not going to come. And then I don't want to be in a situation where I'm locked into a nether. So what the Gemara says is that I can make a tnai beforehand, that any nether that I'm going to make will be null and void. And if I remember that tnai when I make the nether will be null and void. The Kivan the Med asked the Gemara if we're referring to a situation where he said, "Kol nether shani yosu li deyi bato," that I said that any nether I make is null and void. So what's the point of the nether? The person knows that I made the nether, and he knows the person didn't know that I made such a nether. And therefore, what's the point of making this declaration? So, and if he did hear, then he knows that the nether is not really very meaningful. Answers the Gemara, this way we have to understand the Mishnah. Somebody wants somebody else to eat by him. Misaraboy, and he wants very much that he should eat by him, and he keeps on asking him to please come. Umadiroy, and he even makes a nether that if you won't accept my invitation, I won't have any connection to you. Says the Gemara, Nidri Zruzin, says the Mishnah, that that's considered a case of Nidri Zuruzin. And what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is teaching us, that says the Rosh, is that we don't limit the halacha of Nidri Zuruzin, as we said earlier in the shiur, to a case where there's a business deal going on. But even this case, where it's not a situation of a business deal and people are trying to stake out their position, it's still considered a valid way, it's still considered halachically a Nidri Zuruzin. And then is another din the Mishnah teaches us. If somebody, Kol Hashana, if somebody wants that all the Nedarim that he makes during this year should not be valid, what should he do? Yamid Rosh Hashanah, he should stand on Rosh Hashanah and make an announcement. Kol Neder Shani Asa Lidar, any Neder that I'm going to make, Yei Batel should become nullified. And the halacha is, if Bilvach Yishoch B'Shas Neder, if when he makes a Neder, he has a mind, he remembers that tonight, so that automatically nullifies the Neder. So Moshe Rishonim explained that this, that the Gemara says that you should make this Tanai, which we know is what we do when we say Hataras Nedarim. We will speak later in the shiur about Kol Nidre, but at this point, let's speak about Hataras Nedarim, that on Erev Rosh Hashanah we make Hataras Nedarim, and after we do that Hataras Nedarim, we're Mois Meda, we announce, we declare the Kol Nedarim, that all the Nedarim are going to make you Betelim of Hataram. The halach is, that's the Tanai that we were speaking about. And the Rus says that even though the Gemara speaks about making this Tanai in Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't mean specifically that this Tanai should be made in Rosh Hashanah. The halach is that any time you make the Tanai, this Tanai is a valid Tanai. But the Gemara at this point says, Ulvachi Zohar B'Shas Neder, when he makes a Neder, he remembers that Mesiris Meidah that he made. However, the Rashba actually says Rosh Hashanah, the reason that he mentions Rosh Hashanah is because he wants this Tanai to be valid for the whole year. So that's why he makes the Tanai in Erev Rosh Hashanah, so it should be good for the whole year. Others, however, say that there has to be a seriousness attached to this comment. And how is the seriousness attached to this comment? The way you show a seriousness is by making this Tanai on Erev Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur. That is a time where a person obviously is taking everything in a much more serious fashion. I saw the Rav Traeger, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach's son-in-law, the Rosh Yeshiva in Antwerp, used to explain this Gemara, that when somebody makes the Tanai, such a Tanai, we have to know that he really is serious about making the Tanai. And he's not just saying it without that seriousness. When during the year is a person in that frame of mind that whatever he says is truly serious, it's a Rosh Hashanah. Because he quotes the famous Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam discusses the whole point of Tekiyah Shofar. The Rambam quotes the Pasuk, the shofar causes us to wake up from our state of the whole year. So he explains what the Rambam means to say is that all year round, we're not really in a proper frame of mind. And we're really sleeping. When a person is sleeping, what he says is not really sincere, is not really serious. Only on Rosh Hashanah, after we hear Tekiyah Shofar, that's when we're truly serious about our intention. That's pshat what the Gemara says. On Erev Rosh Hashanah, when we're in that true state, who we are is the time to say, this is the time to say Kataros Nedarim, because that's the time when we know that what he's saying is sincere. And that's why the Ran explains the reason this Tanai is valid and what does it do. What it accomplishes is that all the Nedarim that you make during the year will be considered Nedre Tos, which we learned Nedre Tos, a Nedre made under false pretenses, is not considered a valid Tanai. the Haflos Nadarim has a different approach. The first Nadarim's approach is that there is a special koyach, there's a special ability that Chazal said that by making this Tanai, what you are accomplishing is that that's a way to nullify a Tanai, to nullify a nether that it shouldn't have any meaning. But as so the Gemara keeps on repeating, that the reason it works is because Ovach is Zochab Shas Nether. What you make the nether, you remember the Tanai, and that immediately it cancels the nether. It's also important to point out that both Duran and Tosfos teach us that this Tanai that a person can make off front, that all Nadarim I'm going to make this year should be null and void, is only Nadarim that I initiate. So if I initiate a nether, as we're going to be discussing further, those Nadarim could become nullified with the Tanai that I make. But a nether, as we've learned many times, there are Nadarim and Shvuas that I don't make myself. Somebody makes me, somebody is mashbiya me, or somebody that makes me make the nether. So that is not considered something that's considered a valid method to be, for that bittel, for that the Mesiris Maida of Erev Hashanah or Yom Kippur or whatever, for that it wouldn't be helpful. But as the Gemara, on the contrary, Im Zohar, if by the time that he makes the nether, he remembers that he made that Tanai. And since he remembers that he makes the Tanai, and he makes the Tanai anyway, and he makes the nether anyway, doesn't that represent that Akrila Tanai, that he's saying that the Tanai is no longer valid, the Kaimle Le Nedre, and he wants that the nether should be valid. So the Gemara is asking that just the opposite from what we're saying. We're saying that remembering the Tanai is, you should remember the Tanai. Ask the Gemara just the opposite. If you remember the Tanai, then of course the Tanai becomes null and void. Because what you're saying is that I don't care what I said. Now I'm making this nether. I'm Rabbi Tanai. Tani Sabaya, indeed, because of this question, reverses what the Gemara says. It's only going to be valid if you don't remember the Tanai. If you don't remember the Tanai, it's only going to be valid if you don't remember the Tanai. And therefore, you make the nether, and you forget about the Tanai, but the Tanai preceded the nether. And since the Tanai preceded the nether, that's why the nether will fall away. But if you indeed remember the Tanai, and you remember the nether, what you're saying is that the nether should be null and void. I did see that there are Rishonim that want to differentiate in this entire discussion a distinction that we've seen many times in our Masechta, and that's the difference between Talmud Chochem and Amah Oretz. By an Amah Oretz, we have to be concerned, maybe the Tanai is not there, maybe the Tanai is there. By Talmud Chochem, the Halacha is not that way. I also saw that Karen Oira points out that if, when he made the nether, he forgot the Tanai, if he remembers the Tanai a number of days later, then he can be mevatel the nether. The Karen Oira says it doesn't all have to be simultaneously. Rav Amar, but Rav has a different pshat. Rav Amar, loyalim k'naminim yikara. We're able to follow what we've learned at the beginning, where when he makes the nether, he remembers the Tanai. What's the case of the Mishnah? Kigon Shesna Rosh Hashanah. In Rosh Hashanah, he made a Tanai. And he didn't make a general Tanai that any nether I make should be null and void. He made a specific nether, Kigon Shesna Rosh Hashanah, that he's not going to, if he makes a nether that he's not to eat bread, which is problematic, that Tanai should be null and void. But he doesn't remember what was the Tanai that he made at the beginning of the year. And now he makes a nether. If he remembers when he makes the nether, Vamar, and he says when he makes the nether, Adas Rishonim Noider. Like I'm making the nether that I still want that the Tanai should nullify the nether. So what he's saying is, even though for whatever reason I'm expressing my nether, I don't want it to be chal, So then I don't want it to be effective. So then the halacha is nidre less be mishasha. The net is not considered to have any relevance. However, if he doesn't make that declaration as he makes the neder, what he's doing is akul tnai. What he's doing is he's saying he's disregarding the tnai. If since he remembers that he made a tnai, and he doesn't remember what the tnai was, so when he makes the neder, he has to say that he's not coming to nullify the tnai. And if he doesn't do that, and he doesn't say adas rishonani oisa, what he's declaring is that he no longer is interested in that tanai. And since he's no interested in the tanai, he's more interested in the nether, and therefore the nether stands, even though it turns out that what he made the nether about was contrary to the tanai. Says the Gemara, Rav Huna bar Chinna nesavah l'midrash b'perka. Rav Huna wanted to teach this halacha in public, that people can make this tanai, and like that, all the nadarim you make during the year will be null and void. Amalei Rava. Rava said, Tana come mistam stumi. The Tana did not elaborate on this halacha in the Mishnah, because he didn't want the kedei she lo yinhagu kol rosh b'kalas rosh b'nadarim. He knew that if everybody will be aware of this halacha, people will not take nadarim seriously. And now he says, that drashta lapirka, now you want to say, you want to publicize it. You have no right to publicize something the Chazal deliberately kept quiet. So Ran explains that Rava and Abaya are really not disagreeing. And Rava agrees that if he doesn't remember the Tanai, the nether is null and void. But he just says it's hard to explain the Mishnah like Abaye explained the Mishnah, because that's not the wording of the Mishnah. So in order to come up with a way that the wording of the Mishnah should be consistent with the halacha, that's why Rava came up with this explanation. But it's not that Rava in any way held, that's not like Rava in any way held that Abaye's explanation is wrong. So as we said earlier, this Gemara is the source for the halacha that we know, that people say Hataras Nadarim, and people say Kol Nidre Yom Kippur evening. There's a very fundamental Machloikus Rishonim, and what is the Kol Nidre that we say Yom Kippur by night? The Rosh says that the Kol Nidre does, what the Kol Nidre comes to accomplish is that that the Kol Nidre doesn't mean that somebody's allowed to violate his Nadarim. What it does is, it's here to protect someone for violating a Nadar last year. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees and holds that Kol Nidre does not refer to the past Nadarim, that the Rosh says that's what it refers to, although there's a question, as we just said, how effective it is. But Rabbeinu Tam says because the Rabbeinu Tam holds that's not an effective way how to be matan neder. The only way, explains the Rabbeinu Tam, we can be matan neder is by the person identifying his neder. And as we learned earlier in our shir, we have to have then Pesach or Charata. And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam explains that the Kol Nidre is a declaration regarding future nedarim. And he's making a declaration, as we're learning in our Gemara, that one can make such a declaration about future Nadarim and Shavuos. There are a number of significant nafgaminas la'alocha between the approach of Rabbeinu Tam and the Rosh. According to the Rosh, since the Kol Nidre is speaking about Nadarim that I made in the past, so when one says Kol Nidre, he should say Miyom Kippurim Sha'avar, that he's making the Kol Nidre regarding the Dharm of last year till this year. According to Rabbeinu Tam, which the Kol Nidre is a declaration from the future, the Nusach of the Kol Nidre should be Miyom Kippurim Zeh Ad Yom Kippurim Haba. It should be for this year till next year. I'm making a declaration moving forward about all the Dharm. Another nafkamina is that the Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos teaches us that on Shabbos, one is not allowed to be matan neder unless it's something that involves tzairich Shabbos. That means, the Gemara teaches us there, if somebody made a neder that he won't eat, and of course on Shabbos we have a mitzvah to eat, we're allowed to be matan neder on Shabbos. Any other nedarim we can't do on Shabbos. So according to the Rosh, who says Kol Nidrei is an act of Ataras Nadarim, it would be the halacha requires that Kol Nidrei should be said before Shkia. Because on Shabbos, once it's already Yontif, once it's already Yom Kippur, we can't say Kol Nidrei, we can't be Matan Nadar. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, since it's only a declaration towards the future, so it's not Ataras Nadarim, and it can be done even after Shkia. And that's why the Rama writes that the meaning is to say Kol Nidrei before Shkia, before Tzeis Kechavim, before Shkia. The Magen Avraham says that even according to Rabbeinu Tam, that we're saying that Kol Nidrei is not a form of Ataras Nadarim, but it looks like Ataras Nadarim, and since the Halach is that Ataras Nadarim should not be done on Shabbos for Yontif, even if we're saying Kol Nidrei reflects the future declaration, we should still not say it on Yontif, we should say it earlier. The Ravash has just the opposite approach. He says, not only according to Rabbeinu Tam may Kol Nidrei be said already on Yom Kippur, because according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's not an act of Ataras Nadarim, which should not be done in Shabbos and Yontif. But even according to the Rosh, who says that Kol Nidrei is a form of Ataras Nadarim, it can be said on Yom Kippur. Because just like we quoted the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, that anything that's Tzairuch Shabbos is considered a Tzairuch Shabbos that we're allowed to have that type of nether annulled on Shabbos or Yontif. There is no greater requirement that a Jew needs on Yom Kippur than to say Kol Nidrei and have all of his Nadarim annulled. Because a person who has Nadarim on them should have the Nadarim removed so he could approach and be able to receive a kapara of Slicha of Yom Kippur. Moreover, the Rama writes that even though the Rosh's opinion is that Kol Nidrei speaks about past Nadarim, it's a form of Ataras Nadarim, the halacha is that it's not something to be relied upon, L'chatchila. And therefore, L'chatchila, as we've mentioned previously, it's better to say B'li Neder before you accept anything upon yourself. Or, if you made a Neder, and the Neder is something that you want to annul, don't rely, certainly not on Kol Nidrei, and don't rely on Ataras Nadarim. What you should do is do a proper Ataras Nadarim by going to Rav and have Ataras Nadarim. There are other rayas the Rabbeinu Tam brings to support his position, because the halacha is that Ataras Nadarim is supposed to be done by three dayonim or by Yochid Mumcha, which is not done by Kol Nidrei. Moreover, the proper way, says Rabbeinu Tam, of doing Ataras Nadarim, as we've been speaking in our shiurim, is by having charata. And he says Kol Nidrei is not a proper expression of charata. Another point that Rabbeinu Tam makes is that when one does Ataras Nadarim, he's supposed to identify the neder that he made. And by Kol Nidrei, it's a general nusach that doesn't specify any nadarim. And third and lastly, he says that let's say we'll say that the chazan who's saying Kol Nidrei is the Rav who's being matter neder, but who's being matter neder of the chazan. So the Rosh disagrees, says that since everybody, the minig is that everybody says along with the chazan that Taras Nadarim, since everybody says along with the chazan Ataras Nadarim, so that's how the chazan has Ataras Nadarim, and that's how we have more than three people saying that Ataras Nadarim, because the entire Tzibur says the Ataras Nadarim. Moreover, says the Rosh, that halacha why somebody has to detail and specify his Nadarim is because that's only in a case when somebody comes to a Rav. And the Rav has to hear what was the nether that you want to have annulled. Because as we're going to be learning in our Masechta, Mitzvah Shem, not all Nedarim can be annulled. But here we're talking about only Nedarim that can be annulled. And I saw that the Karban Sanal explains why. Because what are the type of Nedarim that cannot be annulled? The type of Nedarim that cannot be annulled are Nidrei Mitzvah. So explains Karban Sanal, there is no one who on Yom Kippur by night wants to annul Nidrei Mitzvah. Yom Kippur by night, as we approach to say Kol Nidrei, is what we're anxious to do is strengthen our Dvar Mitzvah. So it's obvious that the Nedarim that we're saying Kol Nidrei, says the Kavan Nesal and explained the Rosh, are only Nedarim that you don't need to have, that you can have annulled. Since they're Nolim, they're Nedarim that could be annulled, and other Nedarim we're not speaking about, that's why you don't have to specify the Nedarim. Another pshat that the Nemuka Yosef says in approaching the Kol Nidrei, he says he disagrees both with the Rash, with the Rosh and Rebbe Tam, but rather what it is that it's a tefillah. He says the Kol Nidrei is a tefillah, that a person as he enters Yom Kippur, especially we who are learning Masechta Nedarim and recognize the seriousness of Nedarim, we're mespalta HaKadosh Baruch Hu that any Nedarim that we make, that we've made, we should make sure to fulfill everything that we're obligated to do, because we recognize that if we won't fulfill everything that we're going to do, the repercussions are very serious. So the question that I saw that the Rishonim ask is, the Gemara said that one should not publicize or over-publicize this halacha that one can make an announcement at the beginning of the year that all the Nedarim I'm going to make should be null and void. So the question is, if a Rav, as he's saying a drasha, Yom Kippur by night by Kol Nidrei, is he allowed to explain the halacha of Kol Nidrei, what Kol Nidrei represents? So explain the Rishonim that as long as he doesn't say directly that a person should feel that all the Nedarim he makes can be null and void, he just speaks about the seriousness of Nedarim. If a Rav wants to speak about Nedarim by Kol Nidrei evening, and he speaks about the seriousness of Nedarim, that is not considered that he did contrary to what he did in our Gemara. The Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach approaches this entire Gemara differently. He says that what Kol Nidrei is supposed to represent, says Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, Kol Nidrei is supposed to represent that the person, as he comes to Yom Kippur by night, takes time, takes pause to think about everything that he's done and the seriousness of his words. And that's not considered a violation of, that's not considered at all a violation of our Gemara. On the contrary, it's very much part of what we're learning. What he's trying to teach is the seriousness of Nedarim, because how important Nedarim are that as we approach Kol Nidrei. And that's why I saw that the Mat Ephraim discusses if Hataras Nedarim, if Kol Nidrei is just a way, whether we follow the opinion of the Rosh, or we follow the opinion of the Rebbeinu Tam, it's either a form of Hataras Nedarim, or it's a form of making this declaration going further. So why do people cry by Kol Nidrei? What's to cry about? So I saw that the Mat Ephraim explains, and I saw the Sefer Yofel Lev also explains this way. The Kol Nidrei is here to teach us the seriousness of the words that we say. The Kol Nidrei is here to talk about, do we recognize the repercussions of what we say and what we do all year? And therefore, when a person stands by Kol Nidrei and he thinks about the words that he used all year, and presumably, it's not just words that he used as Nedarim. It's also words that he used as in his speech. Did he speak properly? Did he say Lashon Hara? Did he make sure to speak in a proper way to everyone he interacted with? And when a person takes the time to think about the way he perhaps behaved over the last year, and his commitment to how he will behave in the coming year, that's a real time for tshuva. And that's why it's a time for crying and introspection.